Hey, welcome back again to our series on the Affordable Care Act. There's no doubt that U.S. healthcare is expensive, and this is due to many factors. The problem is complex, and so are the solutions proposed by the Act. So in this part of the series, we'll talk a little about how the Act attempts to provide some cost control provisions. Keep in mind that this talk does not get into what it actually obtains, but the theory behind the Act.
Today, we'll talk about cost control measures related to the Affordable Care Act. Upon completion of this course, the participant should be able to describe the implication of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act on the U.S. federal deficit, identify the beneficiaries and benefits of implementation of the Act, discuss how increasing the number of insured Americans will save money for the American taxpayer system, explain cost-cutting measures and savings realized from implementing the Act. This is how this session is going to go. We'll first start off with a basic introduction to the Act, just to kind of refresh your mind, especially if you didn't tune into the first session in this series. Then we'll talk about cost benefits for the individual consumer, as well as cost savings to the tax system. Next, we'll touch on cost control measures and savings at the healthcare institution level. And then finally, the cost benefit to the taxpayer. The Affordable Care Act, or ACA, also known as Obamacare, introduces a number of cost control measures set to reduce the overall expenditures for American healthcare. The ACA is designed to be self-funding and is expected to result in billions of dollars of tax savings for the American consumer as a whole. It is expected to reduce the U.S. deficit by $100 million in the next 10 years from when it went into law. It was enacted on October 1, 2013, and set to address inequities in the cost and availability of healthcare services in the United States. Those who have been unable to afford healthcare coverage will receive subsidy-based savings. Those who have not had access to services due to location will see an increase in newly developed service institutions and measures. Let's talk a little bit about cost benefits for the individual consumer. Prior to the enactment of the Affordable Care Act, the average American had few choices in terms of healthcare coverage. Lucky Americans received insurance coverage through their employer. Those at the lowest income levels may have received government-funded Medicaid coverage. This non-system left many Americans unable to find or afford coverage for themselves, hence becoming uninsured and forced to utilize expensive and overfull emergency rooms as primary health providers. With employer-provided health coverage, the policies varied widely from employer to employer. In some cases, coverage was provided in full with low deductibles and low copays. In these cases, the coverage was a true benefit, coming at a high cost for the employer. It also made it more likely that an employee would remain with a job that was less desirable in order to get the good insurance. Cost benefit for the individual consumer. State of health coverage prior to the enactment of ACA. For cost-cutting measures, in lean economic times, employers were forced to reduce their staff or require that some employees work only part-time hours so that they would not qualify for health insurance. Other employers were forced to raise the amount that an employee was required to pay on a monthly basis in order to maintain coverage. Still, some were forced to reduce the quality of coverage so that deductibles and copays were higher and some services not provided, such as maternity or mental health coverage. Costs and coverage varied widely from employer to employer. When an employee left one employer, he was required to pay for COBRA coverage, which included his amount plus the employer's monthly premium. This was often unaffordable for the consumer. In addition, COBRA coverage was only allowed for a maximum of 18 months. Employment at a new company would often require a waiting period, during which he was not eligible for new insurance, and certain pre-existing conditions could result in denial of coverage. The good thing is that the ACA yields cost benefits to the individual. The ACA is designed to help each person in the United States be more empowered to control his own insurance coverage. ACA provisions allow for portability of insurance from one employer to another with no waiting period. Insurance cannot be denied due to pre-existing conditions, and those who cannot afford the entire insurance premium may receive tax subsidies based on income. Any family making less than $250,000 per year will receive some type of subsidy to assist in premium payment. Insurance programs are also required to meet minimum standards so that coverage basics do not vary from policy to policy or company to company. Let's talk a little bit about cost savings to the tax system. Before the ACA was enacted, the rate of uninsured Americans was at 16.7%. In some states, the overall figure was as high as 24%. The non-elderly adult population was the highest uninsured group at 29%, with over half of those uninsured being part-time workers or workers whose employers did not provide insurance that was affordable. 10% of children under the age of 18 were also uninsured. Income has been shown to be a primary factor in lack of insurance. Only 1/5 of the uninsured population was deemed to be able to afford insurance, 1/4 being eligible for public assistance, but possibly unable to attain it for a variety of reasons. It is also estimated that 5 million of those who did not have insurance were rejected due to pre-existing conditions. The uninsured population, particularly the 4/5 that were unable to afford insurance, also could not afford self-pay for health care that is priced based on insurance coverage. This left the majority of the uninsured with no primary care at all. These Americans would then be forced to use the emergency care system as primary care. Unable to afford the grossly expensive cost of the emergency room, the taxpayer would be forced to pick up the bill. In addition, many of the conditions requiring emergency room visits could have been prevented with adequate primary preventive care, or at a minimum, been provided at a much reduced cost in a primary care setting. The ACA yields cost savings to the tax system. The ACA will save the American tax system billions of dollars by simply shifting the taxpayer funding of emergency room visits to coverage for uninsured Americans. It will afford those formerly uninsured Americans access to preventative and routine healthcare services for an overall cost savings that will arise from disease reduction and reduction in the use of high-cost emergency services. The Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, has been protected to ensure that millions of American children are covered for healthcare needs. Medicaid in many states has been extended and enrollment in governmental exchanges has been simplified. The ACA is expected to reduce the federal deficit by $100 million over a 10-year period. Okay, on to cost control measures and savings at the healthcare institution level. The Affordable Care Act has provisions designed to increase efficiency in the healthcare system, which will in turn reduce overall costs. These reductions can have a positive impact on the financial situation of the healthcare system. The Medicare system has been preserved in the ACA. Medicare beneficiaries will save thousands of dollars by the closing of the donut hole, a gap in Medicaid coverage which resulted in many Medicare patients being unable to afford their portion of medical services. Some of those services were then provided by public institutions using taxpayer funding. Savings to the healthcare system. The ACA also decreases the amount of money that is overpaid, with high cost to institutions for emergency services that could be provided elsewhere at a cheaper cost. With the assurance that needy Americans have adequate health coverage, there will be a reduced need for high cost emergency services through the provision of preventative and routine primary treatment at less expensive venues. With the knowledge that entering patients will have adequate coverage, there will be less incentive for institutions to improperly hike prices for paying patients in order to cover those who cannot pay, providing for a more accurate and less expensive view of how much medical procedures actually cost. Nursing homes and long-term care facilities have been a major source of financial fraud in the healthcare system. The Transparency and Program Integrity provision encourages nursing homes to self-correct errors and recommends background checks for all employees which should eliminate some cases of systemic fraud. It will also provide a method to ensure that providers who have been found to abuse the system in one locale cannot travel to another jurisdiction to commit the same fraudulent activities. Patients in rural areas who have been required to travel long distances to receive higher-cost treatment in larger urban centers will be able to have primary healthcare needs met in a lower-cost community environment. Cost savings will be realized largely in child medical treatment, immunizations, and preventative care for adults to avoid delays in treatment that will ultimately be done at a much higher dollar value. Now the last, but not the least, cost benefits for the taxpayer. With the guarantee that each patient in the healthcare system will have insurance coverage sufficient to cover medical treatment, the taxpayer will no longer be responsible for funding costly treatment for uninsured patients who use emergency facilities at a delayed time and at a much higher cost. This will bring the overall cost of the system to a lower level. The ACA will afford easy access to preventative service and screening service coverage for illnesses such as alcohol abuse, cholesterol screening, mental health screening, colorectal screening, type 2 diabetes screening, diet counseling, and immunizations. These will identify costly medical disorders at an early level when management is inexpensive, but delayed treatment may be costly. Some of these offerings are expanded for certain groups, including women, children, obese persons, men, and the elderly, depending on medical status. The ACA also provides for a self-funded disability program to ensure that Americans have coverage for medical conditions that render them disabled, where some payment will enable them to continue working and stay in their homes rather than being placed in a long-term care facility at a much higher cost at the taxpayer's expense. Individuals who cannot afford the health coverage will receive a tax subsidy based on income that will enable them to obtain adequate coverage for themselves and their families. Small businesses who choose to provide health coverage to their employees may also receive a tax benefit for doing so. Insurance companies will be required to provide justification for any premium increase of more than 10% before the increase takes place. This will enable accountability and safety for the American consumer and prevent sticker shock. Over a 10-year period, the ACA is expected to provide billions in tax savings to American consumers and a reduction in the deficit of $100 million. And that concludes today's session. So far, we've covered briefly what the Affordable Care Act is all about. Then we went into some detail about cost benefits to the individual consumer, the tax system, at the healthcare institution level, and benefits to the taxpayer. While the ACA is not completely perfect, the intent for cost savings is there. It is still debated as to the best ways to realize these savings and yet generate optimal health outcomes. So stay tuned for the next session, where we will discuss emerging models of care.
This series is brought to you by PharmPH, LLC.